Hello, welcome to the Sparkle Pod. We're Lise and Jess, two sisters who make up part of the Move It Mama team. I'm Lisa, founder of the business, and Jess is our GM. This podcast began as a way to connect with our members who exercise with us through our online fitness platform. Today, we still love the chance to connect with you all and are grateful for the encouragement and support you give us along the way. If you're interested in joining Move It Mama, visit our website, moveitmama.co.nz. And if you like our podcast, please hit like and subscribe.
Hi.
Hi.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Kia ora.
This is exciting and a long time coming, sister. Mm-hmm.
I feel bad because I honestly thought we had done this, which is so, but I feel like obviously life's morphed into some, you know, time just goes, doesn't it? But I feel like people have asked questions that I thought everyone would have known the answer to because we've done this, but we have not done this. So this is very long overdue. I was going to try and welcome you in today, but I cannot. Jess, can you?
Oh my gosh, no.
I was just going to say, what I want to say is just like maybe kia te pihi koe, Natalia.
Oh, okay. Tēnō pai ahau. So, I am very good.
How can we say introducing?
You could like say know my like
haere mai, haere mai, Natalia.
I like your accent.
Yesterday she did a French half accent. Italian. She did French yesterday. That was
really,
it was interesting.
Asked, we talked about on the podcast yesterday about when we read a novel, do we one Matilda Rice, a New Zealand celebrity, I suppose.
Yes.
She was talking about how she reads her book in the accent that.
Oh yes, I've heard that. Yeah.
Yep. So I tried to read it because I agreed with Jess on some books. I do that, but the passage that I opened up to wasn't a very good passage, and I was really gutted. But then last night when I was reading, I was giggling to myself because I was doing it in my head I nailed it, and I was like, damn it. Anyway.
It's funny how you can do that, though. You can think French, you can think you're talking like a really nice accent in your head, but when you actually come to deliver it, it sounds different,
it's
right?
It's a bit like singing. It's a bit like singing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, darling, kia ora. Are you part Māori?
I am.
Yep. Yep. Can you tell us where you're from? Your whānau?
My iwi. So I'm half Māori, half Pākehā, European. My dad is like Irish Pākehā, and my mum is Māori. And I whakapapa to the North Island. So tūwharetō, Ngāti Apa, Ngāti Kahununu, which is kind of like around the Taranaki and Hastings kind of area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And where did your parents meet?
Where did my parents meet? They meet down here in Christchurch. And yeah, I think they were not that long. Maybe like, yeah, they met down here. And actually, funny story, my dad picked her up for their first date on his bike, like, not
pedal
a
bike.
Motorbike, like a pedal bike.
Just dumped her on the back.
He did.
Now, I've met your mum. She's quite dark, okay? Like, she's quite dark-skinned, would you say?
She is.
Okay, this is just randomly pointless chat, but when we moved to Christchurch, we're from Wellington originally, mm-hmm. and when we moved to Christchurch, I just felt like there weren't that very many Māori or Pacific Islanders, whereas I was sort of immersed around Jess and I and our family. And I also taught at a predominantly Māori Pacific Island school. And when I moved to Christchurch, I was like, oh my gosh, there's like not that many Māori people down here. Or like, did you feel like that growing up? Did you feel?
100%.
Yeah. And like, do you still feel like that in Christchurch?
Yeah.
Does it make you want to move to somewhere where there's more Māori or what?
Within all honesty, like a lot of me, especially since I've been like learning Māori and going on that like hiding out, I would like to be somewhere close to my marae. Like it's not like I go there and I know it. I've been there and I've gone there sometimes, and most of the time it's for tangi or like not very nice occasions. But I don't like, you know, I'd like to be able to be close there so that I can actually learn more about my whakapapa and just feel like I'm like actually a part of it rather
like
than
actually
just like
Māori.
Just actually a part of it rather than like I can recite my pepeha and talk about my marae, but then not actually being there. Yeah.
Growing up, did you celebrate being Māori? Like, was it like your mum was Māori, your dad wasn't? Did she sort of immerse you in like your culture, or was it a little bit harder because Did you hang out with other Māori people and families, or were you kind of a bit isolated?
So all my mum's family are still like in the North Island, and I've always known that I'm Māori, and we've always followed like tikanga, but I wasn't
What does
brought
that
up.
mean?
Tikanga means like protocols, so like the
Yeah, I'm just
Māori way of
asking for
doing
other
things.
people.
Yeah, so like the Māori way of doing things, so like how you would hongi when you meet someone, or like
Oh,
the
you did do
processes.
that.
Yeah, like when you'd follow and kiss them, like we were always very respectful of our elders. You know, you'd take your shoes off, you'd never put a hat on the table, like all those kind of
Māori customs and stuff.
customs. Yeah. So I was always brought up with that, but not the deal. My mum only started learning when I might have been about 12 or 13, when my mum went to learn to deal. But otherwise, she just knew the basics, and I knew the basics as well.
Cutting
Did you
ahead
have?
just a little bit, sorry. When did you start learning? Only recent.
So I started learning properly. Like when I went to high school, I did Māori throughout when I was at high school. And that was just, yeah, through high school, right up until year 13. And then I just kind of left it there. It's not that I didn't have a lot of interest in it, but I didn't pursue it any further. And
Excuse
then,
oh
yeah,
sorry.
no, it's
Excuse
okay.
my ignorance, but do they offer, I mean, I cannot remember. Do they offer Māori at year 13?
Yes.
Like for
Well, I don't know if they do now, but yeah, so up to level 3, yeah.
And were you like one of the only people that did it? Like were there like
No,
a
that
lot of
was a smaller class, but yeah, definitely a smaller class. But no, there was a good, I don't know, maybe under 10 of us, but yeah, at the end stage. Yeah.
And then you've picked it back up again in recent years, right?
Yeah, so then after living in Amsterdam for a few years, and just hearing the language, and you'd go to all these different countries, I'm like, oh my goodness, like you literally just hop on a plane and it's like a different language. I was like, this is so beautiful and so much part of a culture. And then it just made me quite sad that I was like, man, I don't even know how to speak my own reel, my own language. And yeah, I even feel emotional talking about it.
Does it like is it annoying like from what I feel is like you're doing all this work to learn it, but and so many people other people could do it too to try and make it a country where it is really naturally spoken, like you go to France and or you go
Yes.
to like an Asian country and they speak all different languages, you know. It's kind of annoying because it's almost like I liken it to me trying hard to keep my kids off social media, but the other parents don't care. So it's kind of like, oh, I just wish everyone would learn this so we could actually reignite it and actually have it as part of our country and people talk about it overseas.
I would love that. That would be a dream. I think so many people would love that. But yeah, I think when you think about the enormity of that, and like, although
I
you would
know.
love it to happen, I'm like, well, you know what? I can't control that, but I can
No.
control me and like
Yes.
what I want. And even for like Booker, who's my partner, he's not learn he is Māori, but he's not learning te reo. He knows the basics and probably a little bit more because I speak to our kids as much as I can in te reo. But he's not at the moment learning because he's like, I haven't got time.
It's
But
hard, isn't
yeah.
it?
And he's busy and stuff. So I'm like, I don't force him, but I'm just like, this is, you know, what I want to do. And so I'm doing it. Yeah.
I feel like one day I sort of wanted to say something, and I said to you, I feel like a dick saying like whatever it was in Māori, and you were like, no, like even if you don't sound quite right or something, like it's the more people that speak it in whatever way, like is good.
It normalizes it.
I always remember that, but I also just think you have a particularly beautiful way of speaking.
Oh,
Don't you
thanks.
agree, Lise? Like her te reo, you call it reo for short.
Real.
Why do you, is
Real
reo
or
means the
real?
language? What's the
Yeah.
te part?
Te is the.
Yeah, the
And so
language.
te reo Māori is the Māori
The Māori
language.
language.
Yeah, but
You
you could
have.
say real for short, real.
I just think you speak so beautifully. So then I think, like, God, I'm a dick. But anyway,
Jess,
that's
just along
nonsense.
the same lines of that, I remember putting something up on my Instagram, the Move It Mama Instagram story, and I used reo, and someone came back like, you didn't put the, I think it's a macron, I'm not sure,
macron.
in the right spot, and criticised sort of what I wrote, which is, that was a few years ago now, not like, but just, you know, told me what I'd done wrong there.
Correcting
And I wasn't
you.
actually wanting, I was trying to be, you know, and I was trying to,
Summarizes social media, does it not?
I don't know.
It does.
But that completely, from that moment, I've lost confidence in doing anything. And like,
which
I've
is sad.
I've said the same thing to you.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's sad. And I think that a lot of people, it's really easy to point out what people do wrong and whatever it is. But I think really most of the time there are some people that are genuinely trying to be helpful, and there's others that are just looking to, like, and I've got it quite a lot on social media, and I'm like, yo, I'm not like teaching you. I'm just saying, come learn with us, and I'm going to get it wrong. But, like, you know, I'm not saying it's definitely this and da da da. I'm not going to argue the point. I appreciate it when people tell me, hey, that, did you know that this was actually not quite correct and blah blah blah. But then there's others that always point out, like, your macron usage. I think even a reel that I put up recently, they're like, wahine, which is a W A macron, is woman, and wahine is like singular.
Oh, I did
and
not know
that.
That.
Yeah, and so they were like, did you know that that's actually woman and not woman? And I was like, I did, but I just wrote it wrong.
Yeah, we make mistakes. Goodness, mate. Is this a segue to your
you
social
know,
media account?
I also wrote, I remember, this is not the same thing, but I remember writing a recipe up or something, and I put Jap mayo, and someone wrote back, that's really racist. It's Japanese mayo. And
I
I'm
think
like, oh
people
my
just.
gosh, I didn't mean that. I was just in a rush, and I just was writing it out quick.
Yeah.
But
I think
it's
that
so
is.
Hard.
It is. You can't please everyone.
No.
I think when you, as long as you have good intentions, and I honestly, even with the reel, I'm like, I would rather people, like, you know, actually trying their best to do something, and it might not be quite right, but I would rather them try than not try at all and just be too afraid, because we want our language to be living and embraced. And you just think about toddlers, like, do they know how to speak all the time? No, they say words wrong all the time, but you understand what they're saying. And I think that needs to be embraced the same way for it to actually thrive.
That's a
good point.
Yeah.
I heard that just Luke Bateman, that guy, the hot guy reading the book reviews, Kristen Hannah and stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
Talking.
He wrote back to our story, by the way.
Yes, he did.
No one knows that. And I wrote back and he didn't reply.
Oh, well, it didn't warrant a reply, did it?
No, I know. But
he,
like,
wrote back, like, only good things, I hope, didn't he, about, like, us talking about him. But I heard him just sitting, obviously his following has grown massively, and you'll relate to this, Natalia, but, like, you know, he was talking about, I can't control social media. I can't control, I have no idea what's going on in other people's lives. I have no idea of their history, no idea how they were raised, no idea what problems I've got on. I know nothing about them. So I can't control that. I can't control the way they react to things, the way they see things, their opinions. All I can control is what I post and how I react to everything within what I post. And just reminding himself of that. And I think it's a really good point. Like, it could suck you in. Should we segue to you and your, like, because you have gone a little bit quiet.
I have. I've picked up again.
You have a little
I saw
bit.
You. I spoke to you. We haven't actually talked about, well, hang on. I feel like we've started this.
I know.
That's not the way we were meant to, but that's fine. We're organic and we're real and we're raw and we're authentic. Hey, in Christchurch a month ago, I talked to you about that. I was like, I haven't seen much of your Tadeo, like, your account that, you know, was very vocal at one point. And you're like, yeah, I know. And then next week, you were back on, girl. And then now, are you off again?
No, I'm back on. I'm doing my best to, like, I have got quite a lot of content in my phone, but I just haven't edited it because,
it's
yeah, I haven't made
such
the time.
So long.
But I did. I just kind of, I went off it for a little bit. And I don't know if I just so much noise. But now that I think about it, I think it's kind of like social media is not really the problem. I think it's boundaries or lack of boundaries that we actually have that becomes the problem. Like,
and also our mental mindset could be the problem. We need to control that, eh?
Yeah, and just be really mindful of the things that we do consume, how long we're consuming, when we're consuming, and, like, what's the purpose, rather than, like, doom scrolling or just, like, procrastinating and just, like, you know, like,
that's
that's...
That's such a good reframe because I'm always like, oh God, social media is so it's so bad. But
Yeah.
actually, it's not actually social media that's so
No.
bad. It's our control, a lack of control,
Yeah.
because it's
And
highly
I'm just like,
addictive.
yeah. So I'm just kind of like, I went off it for a little bit because, yeah, it was just so much noise. And I felt like I had so much noise in my own life. And I was like, I just don't want any noise from like anyone else, even though my house is noisy as hell because of like my
But
kids and just
I
everything.
agree. I
And I was
relate.
just like, I just don't want to be on here. And that was just one thing that I was just like, I just, yeah. And I went off it for months where I was just like, I'm just need to switch off. And I like took it off my phone and everything. And I'd go on it like to have a look at things every now and again. But ultimately, I was just like, I need a break. Yeah.
You, sorry, go, Lise.
I think and when you put out lots of content, you then get a lot of replies and you, or you want to know what people think. And
Yes.
so it's a bit of a
Creates
double-edged
work.
sword because then you're kind of always checking. And whereas if you don't have anything, you've got nothing to check and it's
Yeah.
just so much, you can control it so much easier. Like I feel the same. There was a time where I was just always on doing just total stuff. And then you're kind of like, why am I doing this? Is this going to help move at mama? Or is this helping my ego? Or is this just creating drama for my ego? And or is this helping people, with your account? Am I teaching people this, or are they just, what are the intentions behind this? And I think you've got to kind of really lean into it, and just work it out in your head. Why? What's the why here?
Yes. Yeah, big time.
You only started kind of social media last year, eh? Was it? Or a bit
Yeah.
before that?
No, last year, I think around February.
And did you see a bit of a gap? I would summarize your account as being learn Te Reo with us and follow me and my family whānau and watch learn with me.
Yes.
Did you see a bit of I don't know. How did you think to do that?
So I just a few times I've popped up on social media. I don't know. I've always kind of just had this like little calling or voice in my head of just like speak, just speak, like just speak whatever it is. But then I just kind of haven't. And then I just decided, you know what? I'm actually like, I look at social media and there's some really great accounts, but there's also so much like fake and just like trying to sell you everything and just like tell people that you need to do this to fix yourself and this and that and buy this and then you'll be happy. And I'm like, man, where are all the real people at? Like, where are they? Because, yeah. And I was like, and then even often with like even me learning to deal, I was like, you see like these amazing real speakers, but you don't see like the journey or the process that they've got there. And I was like, where are they? Like, I want to see them. I want to see and like hear their perspective and their way of like how they've done it. And because it feels like quite overwhelming and stuff at times. And yeah, and I was like, man, there's actually like no one. I was like, why is no one talking about it? We see the end product, but we don't see
The
like,
clunkiness in between or something.
yeah.
No
And I think that
offense.
like,
I
no,
feel
100%.
like you would be so good on TV. Like in back in the day, that could have been your rock. You know how
Never
if it was
too
play
late.
school, I just feel
Never
like
too late.
you'd be so good at that. You've got such an amazing way with the camera, and you're yeah, as our mom loves your energy. But
Oh.
yeah, so for those of you that don't know, Natalia's on Instagram and she is got well, she started this account in February last year, and it grew quite quickly, didn't it? Your followers, and
Yeah.
because it's all about teaching, it will come on the journey of to watch or be with, learn with us, me and you and your tamariki, and how you go about your days using, incorporating, and learning today.
It was super
And like
interesting.
it's
I really like it.
reclamation, like I would say reclamation, like reclaiming like our deal and learning, but then also like that's a part of like me and who I am and like all the, I don't know, other little bits. I know that, yeah, I go through stages of sharing lots and then I'm like quiet, but then
It's
I
like
feel like I just need to just show up actually and be that real person of like when I don't actually want to, like why not? Because I'm not feeling my best self or whatever. And I'm like, but that's kind of like what people relate to.
it's a real hard one though, eh? Because it's so consuming. It's real double-edged sword type stuff. It's like it could be a full-time job. And you've got all this content, you haven't edited it. Like editing it takes so long and then it's time consuming. And then you want to be not that invested and you want to be chill about it. But like it can be super
Well,
consuming and very hard to
or
even manage your boundaries.
yeah.
And also, like, if you're not getting paid as well, like, it's very difficult. And then you're sort of putting out this wonderful content and people kind of take it for granted a little bit as well. You get, well, if you're in a bad kind of zone in your mind mentally, you're like, nah, stuff you all. I'm having a break. Stop. You all want this, but like, what are, you know, and that can be quite hard too. So I think it's fine for you to go in and out. And I think that is the real part. You don't have to show up and go, oh, hi, guys, I'm here, but I don't want to create content. I mean, you could do that, but you can't authentically create a high vibe video or content if you are feeling not your best. Like, it won't work. So that's also being true to yourself.
I think they were like, even the reason that one of the other reasons that I with social media was to like help document, like I go back and look at some of my old stuff and I'm like, oh my god, like the kids have grown so much.
Yeah, that's
like
nice.
Even just the reel and all that, and I'm like, it's actually quite a cool little diary for like things like that. But then also I'm like, social media is such a great tool to connect with other people when, like, you know, lots of things happen from social media. I mean, look, move at mama, you know, like sharing the workouts online. Like, I don't know what it is, but I do feel like there is some kind of like thing of just like, I don't know what that is, but like just speak, just share.
I like that. Yeah. Tell us about your kids. Someone had that question. Tell us about how many children you've had, and can I leave the social media topic, Lise? You're looking at me like,
no,
tell us about the children.
So I have three kids. I have three tamariki, and Kiwa is my oldest. She is going to be seven next week. Yeah, seven next week. Nico, who's four, he's my tama, my boy. And then Amaya, who is two.
And Booker is your partner.
Yes. Yeah.
And you and Booker have been together for ages.
That is, Booker T is his actual legitimate first name.
That's right. Love that.
And you've been together a long time, eh?
Yeah, since I was 16, he was 17.
And did you have any breaks along the way?
We have, yeah. We've had a couple of, twice we've had like proper breaks, like gone our separate ways.
Yeah, just had a few. It's kind of different then, Jess.
Yeah.
Just a few little smutty moments in there.
So there was like, we had about a year apart in 2015, maybe. Yeah, I think 2015, 16. We had a year apart, but
how did you meet?
At a bus stop.
Like in Christchurch, in Otatahi. He's Māori, and did you know that he was Māori?
Well, he's quite fair. Like,
he's
he doesn't
fair,
really,
he is quite fair.
And saying that, he's actually quite tan, but he doesn't have like a lot of Māori features.
He was born in Christchurch?
Yeah. Born in Christchurch.
What did he say at the bus stop?
Oh, the story is actually okay, quick story. But you remember back in the day, I don't know, back in the day here in Christchurch, there always used to be like house parties, and there'd be so many people that would go, but the cops, the like police would always come and just like everyone break it up. Yeah. And so there was a party that was broken up. And then I was at the bus stop with my friends waiting to go home. And then he was there with some of his friends, and one of his friends was not very nice. And like put his hand around me and was like, kiss me. And I'm like, oh, like gross.
Is he still
no.
his friend?
Oh no, they were like friends when they were younger, like no. And then kissed me. And I was like, excuse me. I was like, no. And then I like pushed him off. But then he was like going to hit me. Like,
oh my
I gosh. Know. And then I was getting a bit lippy, and I won't swear about it, but I was getting like lippy. And then Booker came along and was like, hey, he was like, just like, don't. Just don't. And I think he was quite drunk or whatever. And I was like, oh, who is this guy? Like, I'm not scared. And he was like, come on, I'll walk you down this way.
Were you a tough girl?
I wasn't a tough girl, but I was like, don't try and like shove your like tongue down my throat, you loser. Like, and I just called him like for what he was. I was just like, you're a loser, like go away.
Yeah, good girl.
And then he was like, who do you think you're calling? Like, and then, oh, I don't know. I think he's just an idiot, to be honest, but not think I know. But
so Booker was your knight in shining armor.
He was, and he was like, nah, just come down this way, because there was like heaps of people at the bus stop. There's so many people, and him and then one of his like other or his actual proper friend was like, here, now I'll walk you guys home. And he walked my friend and I back to her house. And I think I remember I was just so young, 16.
Did you kiss that night?
We did kiss. And then I had to tell you what, he actually tried to like make the moves. And I was like,
like the other dude.
Yeah. But like tried, we kissed, but that was it.
Where did you?
Like, what do you mean? Where?
At on my the body.
At your friend's house.
Yeah, like, just
no, I meant like, where were you when you kissed?
Oh yeah, like house. At my friend's house.
But were her parents home, and like, were they
no asleep? So at my this particular friend, her mum worked like night shifts and stuff, so no, her mum wasn't
how
home.
It was cool a little, yeah, that could
got
happen.
A bit of mischief at that friend's house. But no, we kissed and stuff. He tried to do some more stuff and I was like, no, I'm not, like, don't do that. And then he was like, okay. And then apparently he told his friend the next day, he was like, man, I think I like that chick. And he was like, what?
Oh,
and he was
cute.
Like, did you like, you know? And he was like, nah, bro. She's like, nah, like, wouldn't. And then he's just like, and he told me afterwards that I was the first, because he had a bit of a reputation. I was the first girl that said no to him.
Crikey.
I got goosebumps. Like, how those. Old are you? 16.
I know.
Rico's 15 in a few months, and I just cannot deal with this.
No.
Oh, my days. And so, yeah, because I didn't do much with Dan the first night either, and that he reckons that's what kind of hooked him in a little bit. Mm. Funny, yeah.
I even, like...
Yes, on the other hand, did everything.
So hey, it doesn't matter.
Hey, that's really rude. Slam me under the bus like that. Look,
sorry.
I mean, if anyone knows the Swan in Stockwell in London, that's just what you did when you left the Swan. Yeah.
Well, I could argue where we, Dan and I, met too. But hey, anyway, very classy, Natalia.
Not so classy over here. I had a real time of not very classy. And look, I'm just full class now, so I've made up for it now, you know? tell us, people, I want to know about like Amsterdam and the army. Like, there's so much to this story. So why don't you just like paint us the picture from, I don't know, saying no to Booker and then Booker wanting to be your man.
Okay. Yeah,
and then go on to like how you got into Move It Mama. So you're doing like as if you're writing a story in English.
No pressure.
Okay. Oh, all not right, and though. But you know what
I'll
mean?
I'll try.
But like you're at school and you're writing a beginning and a middle and then an end.
Okay. All right. So yeah, from Booker. I'll just say one funny thing because I think it's funny. Before, we actually didn't have sex for like maybe 3 or 4 months. And I was like, no, because I was really like, because I was 16.
Was he your first person, though?
He wasn't.
That's not...
He wasn't.
Oh,
but
I get a point back now.
He wasn't.
I waited 8 months with my first boyfriend, so I'm in it. Guys, he thinks I'm the horn dog.
But I made him after like three months. I was like, you know that like you have to go get tested like for anything. And he was like, what? I was like, I've heard like things and you need to get tested. He's like, you need to get tested too. And I was like, well, I know I have nothing. And then he was like, well, go on then. And we both went to like the doctor's clinic. Yeah. And like got tested. And then there was like clean. I was like, okay. I was like, it still doesn't mean anything. Well, but at least it's good to know. And I think I made him wait like a month more.
I made Dan do that too, by the way.
I think it's important.
We were in London. Yeah. Hey, but I just am freaking out that you guys are only 16 and you're having to do that. Like that's the reality of teenagers. I'm nervous because you know what? You're not nervous yet because you've got a 7-year-old. I've got a nearly 15-year-old. So this chat's giving me anxiety.
Major ick. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Just
anyway,
back to when you were his age.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's even worse.
Yeah. It's alarming.
That's what my brother said. And I was like, no, don't tell me to think about that because that will make me want to just run away.
But that means that you've actually got a clue of like, okay. And so like maybe you can
work with
that.
Or ignorance is bliss.
Do you know what? I know this is about you, but I just want to quickly tell the story. So like I've been looking on a TikTok account. Rico created one a while ago before, when he just got his phone and like he's not on it, but I use it and look at stuff. I did find him looking at it the other day. Anyway, not even going to go down that track, but I looked up who he can see on TikTok and like his friends. And there's this girl that I know of. And she's 13, and I was just absolutely shook with what she's posting. And it was just like in tiny little clothes, like she goes to a Christian college, which obviously, you know, whatever. But like tiny boobs are out, tiny. And I said to him last night, I'm shocked with what I've seen with, you know, and one of them, you liked one of your posts. He's like, well, I like if it's any of my friends list, I would like it. And I'm like, okay. And it's like, darling. And then I didn't know what to say because I like as a mother, I don't really want him looking at that, right? And so, which is another reason why we don't I'm trying hard to stop this him looking at social media. But I said, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the podcast, but I was like, I really want you to, like, you know, I hope that you don't find that attractive. I mean, of course he's going to. I was like, classy girls wouldn't really post this kind of stuff. And is that a bad thing to say? I don't know. And obviously I know there's a lot of it. It's such a huge story because it's insecurities. Girls are wanting to be, like, told that they, you know, look nice, or she's trying to make, you know, be wanted or feel more secure about being insecure. And then, anyway, I said, you want to, like, be with classy girls, babe. And he's like, what's a classy girl, mum? All the girls are posting stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, oh, see, this is what's so scary now. Anyway, go back to what you were saying.
I think you can just, like, well, you've instilled really good values in him and he might, like, veer off for a little bit.
Well, I know.
You know what? I think
Booker and the respect. He knew when he got you were the one he wanted to take home and marry.
Yeah.
Well, you're not married, but.
No, not that. Lol.
Hey, but you know, he knew that it was different.
Yeah.
So, but my problem with him was he was a bit confused as what's classy. That was the comment that I was a bit like, are you serious? Anyway, I just, as you say, you just have to make sure you try to instill good values and morals. And and same thing with Dan. Like, he's a good man, but he obviously had moments where, if I was his mother, I'd be like, oh my gosh, which is normal, isn't it? It's normal and it's okay. Well, it's normal for some, you know.
I definitely don't want my kids when they get to, like, those ages to do the stuff that I was doing. No.
No, but they probably will, eh? But
no,
that TikTok story, Lise, is just so, just like the reality of the different time we live in. And it's so difficult because if I cast myself back to that age and how I felt as a 14-year-old or 13-year-old, I mean, it's quite young, but and if social media was available to me, and if it was available to me to get that, like, validation from however many people on a social, like, I feel like we'd be all over that. Maybe not at 13, but,
probably.
You know, yeah, kind of.
I felt old at 13.
Yeah. And so it's a hard one. And, like, she might still be classy. Like, she might, you know, she
absolutely.
Just, like,
yeah. She's, and she's insecure,
probably a lovely girl.
I know.
And,
I know.
Yeah, it's a really difficult one.
And you don't want to judge, eh? And you
no.
don't want to come across as this parent telling your son, oh, but it's just, you just, it's so hard to know what to say and where to go with it.
Very. The longer we can keep them off it, the better. That's all. Mm-hmm. I suppose. But although they'll get it on at 16, 17, and it's all the same and even worse. So I don't know what the answer is. Anyway, back to the beautiful life story of Natalia.
Okay. Where was I?
STD check. They put a thing up the knob, and Dan said it was so painful. It's not, they have to put something up through the turn. No, I think they put, I don't know.
But right,
I remember Dan saying it was so painful.
So fast forward a little bit, I think I'll go to the army. So I joined the army when I was 19, I think.
So were you together though? No, wait, you're not fast forwarding.
You
guys became boyfriend and girlfriend, you were like 17, were you?
16. Yeah.
And you were together until you decided to go to the army. And did you decide with Booker? Was he going too?
Yeah, so no, we were together the whole way. And then I was like, I want to join the army. And I joined the army. We were still together, but I went away and did my training. And then when I came back, we were together. And then he ended up joining the army as well.
Was he a bit like, why are you going to join the army? Why are you leaving me? Or was he just like, yeah, go for it, do it?
Yeah, he was just like, go for it.
This is North Island, like Palmy, Northway?
Wairu.
Wairu, that's right. Yep, cool.
Gumboot City.
So I spent 16 weeks there. Not far from there. Spent 16 weeks there learning to be a soldier.
What was it like?
And Booker's in Christchurch and you're just not seeing him for the whole 16 weeks?
Yeah, so when you're away on your basic training, you don't have any contact. I think they let you, like, maybe at week or 6 weeks, 8 weeks, I can't remember. They let you have, like, one phone call a week, but otherwise it's letters. So you're allowed to write as many letters. So I've got, I've got all these letters. I've kept them from him and I. Well, I don't know if he's kept his, but I've kept mine from him. Heaps of letters. And so we would send letters.
Is that still the case today? It won't be, eh?
I'm not sure.
It sounds like it could be in my book that I'm reading. Hey, did you Why did you want to go to the army? And were you nervous? And did you know anyone that had been in there? And with them, did you know when you went and arrived at Wairuru, did you know anyone there?
So I wanted to join the army. Goodness knows why. I don't even know why. I just thought it would be something cool to do at the time. And I did have a couple of friends that had joined previously. And then when I arrived, no, like when I went on the training, I knew no one.
Question, when you left school, did you do seventh form? And did you, when you left, did you go straight to the army or did you have a year off and save money or something? Or what did you do?
Yeah, I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I didn't go to uni. I just worked.
Where?
Where did I work? I worked at Hallensteins.
Oh, nice. Great store.
Yeah. And then
Great
I
shop.
worked at a cafe as well, when I was just kind of like, what am I going to do?
What was Booker doing?
What was he doing then? I think he might have been bricklaying. Yeah, because he did it before the army. He was a bricklayer. Yeah.
And then we're from the army.
Wait, you no.
Oh.
You rock up day one, Wairuru. What are you wearing?
So you're wearing your normal clothes. You just have to, they call them like number ones, but I think it was just like black pants and a black shirt. And so you flew up and then you get picked up by a bus. And then you're driven to Wairuru. And then when you get off the bus,
Picked up from where?
the
The airport?
airport,
What airport? Palmy.
Palmerston. Yeah.
Or
And
to
then you
Tahiti,
drive.
Palmy,
Yeah. And then
by
you drive.
yourself.
Well, no, with whoever, like there are, I think there was a couple of other people, I didn't know them, that were on the same flight. But then, yeah. So then you get driven to Wairuru, and then once you arrive at Wairuru, they're kind of like, it's, yeah, it's kind of like the movies, like it's all go.
And was anyone mean to you, or were you t
Oh
were
yeah,
you like,
horrible.
oh really? Like what kind of
Yeah.
things?
Just, I won't repeat them, like the way that you're spoken to is back then, I know it's different now, was like kind of a little bit like the movies, like you weren't
Like,
spoken to nicely. You were spoken to like a piece of shit, basically.
Did you meet anyone that became a very good friend to you?
Yes, yeah. So
Cool.
one of the girls that was in my room, so in, they call them a platoon, so there's 40 of us, and I think there was like maybe eight girls to begin with, and I think there was four of us that
Do they
like
leave?
finished. Yeah, quite a lot of people leave. You can leave at any time, but yeah, they chose to leave. But one of the girls in my room, like, yeah, I haven't seen, she lives in Australia actually. I haven't seen her for ages, but I know whenever we do, it's just like normal. Yeah.
Did you have
What were
any?
you?
I'm gonna sit back. Go. You go.
Don't,
Hit
no.
with your questions. I've got so many, so I'll just leave it to
Well,
you
I
for a
know,
bit.
same. Okay. No, that's so annoying.
Get in there.
What were you like? My brother-in-law went to the army and learned how to like fix airplanes. What
Yeah.
was your, what were you doing when you were going to the army?
So the initial 16 weeks that you go to, you just learn how to be a soldier. That's all the soldiering kind of stuff. And then once you're finished from there, you get posted to your camp or wherever you're going, and then you do like your trade. So I was a medic.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but being a soldier is just like hop two, one, two, three, four. Like, what are you learning how to be a soldier?
It's like, so when you're learning all of that kind of stuff, it's like just regimental, so you look polished. So like when they're, you know, marching is like, they say left, right, but it's like they actually cut off the they don't say like left, right, left, left, right. It's like heft, height, heft, height, ha. And
Why?
it's just so that everyone gets in time. And I think the
Do
behind
that
it is
again?
what?
You sound
Like
German.
when they were, yeah. Like heft, height, ha. Heft,
You know
height,
that?
heft, height,
Yes.
heft, height,
No.
ha. And so that you're all in line when you're marching, because you had to march everywhere you went. Like you couldn't
And
just walk.
was there a time where you were like marching and going, I don't want to do this. This is stupid. Let's just run.
No,
Because
because
what would
you would,
happen?
oh, just, yeah, you wouldn't want to
Like, would you be like, Natalia, get down 10
You'd get in
press-ups?
trouble and you'd get extras, but then a lot of the time they wouldn't just punish you, they would punish everyone. So that was like a way of keeping everyone.
No physical violence, eh? Just like fitnessy violence. Sounds a bit.
Not to me, but there were, like, I know it's changed a lot now, like Osh, and like, yeah, it's changed big time. But when I was there, yeah, there was definitely some physical violence,
Did
not
you
towards
cry
me. Yeah, I cried. Yeah.
every day?
No, not every day. Some things were like really hard. Like it's kind of crazy what I think about that I did. Like, if I had to do it again today, I'd be like, no, thanks. I'm not doing it.
It's crazy. There's obviously a psychology behind that training and how that then transfers to you in like a war zone, right?
Resilience.
It's just
So
a
it is
wild
training
thing,
you
though.
for like a war zone. I think I was a little bit like oblivious to like that kind of stuff because I was like, I just want to train to be a medic and help people. Like, I don't actually want to train to like hurt anyone. And yeah, so the first part of it is, yeah, it's intense. You're like, you don't have a lot of sleep because you're like up super early. You go to bed late. They're always keeping you busy. And then you have time in camp and then also out in the field.
I've got a question. If, say, you trained to be a medic before you went to the army, because people do that, right? Would you just go and do your 16-week course and then you're a medic in the army?
So some people can go like for nurses and stuff like that. They are a specialist officer, so they would do like a 6 week basic training, which would be a 6 week one, but they're generally like, so I've heard, like not as intense.
Did you go to war?
Well, I didn't go to war, but I did do one operational deployment, which is Timor Leste, like
Crazy. Timor.
Indonesia. Yeah, East
East
Timor.
Timor.
Yeah, Timor Leste.
What? How long for, and what was it like?
So I went for, how long did I go for? 4 months.
How
Yeah,
old?
I, how old was I? Oh, 23, maybe 23. Yeah. I loved it. It was awesome. It was really like, yeah, it was an awesome experience.
When you did that, was that kind of like, right, I've done it now? That's
Kind
why I
of.
joined the army kind of thing?
Yeah, I think just to experience it. So like we were known as like peacekeepers. So there's like a long history with Timor and what had happened. And basically the Australian and New Zealand Army have been in there just to make sure the peace was kept and so things didn't like get out of hand. And so when I was there, like you would go patrolling around the streets. Like every time you went out of the compound, like you had to have your whip, like your loaded weapon. So like your pistol or your rifle. But I kind of didn't really, I don't know, like I had them, but I didn't think about it so much. And then I went around to like lots of the local villages and things, and you'd see people that haven't didn't have any like medical help or anything like that. So you'd see people with things that were easily fixed if given the right like medication or things.
Did you ever want to be a policewoman?
There was a time that I did think about when I actually was like, okay, after 4 months away, you also have a lot of time to like think about
Army,
stuff.
East Timor, like after you did
Yeah.
that,
Like because you're working, but then also you've got so much time to like just think. And I was like, okay, what I want to do with my life? And I did think about joining the police, but that's long gone. I would not want to do that now.
No.
No.
When did Booker arrive at the end? Why did he decide?
He'd just kind of always thought about it as well, and I think he just probably a pusher would have been like, well, if she can do it, I can do it, and like she's done it, and so he joined. I think a year later, and he actually got top soldier.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are like, so do you do soldiers in at your house and
No.
get your ch children?
No.
I want to see you
Role
do a new Instagram page about come
play.
learn to be a
I'm
soldier with
like,
me.
height, hef, height, hef, height. Ah, is that it?
sometimes I'm
How do
like,
you win top soldier? What is your
you have to be
criteria?
really, like, I was not top soldier, but
But he's
like, you
disciplined.
have to be. No, you just have to be really good. You have to be like high skill, really good, super
At
fit,
what?
like everything soldiering. So like navigation,
Oh,
like
like
any
you mean
kind
with a
of like,
compass?
but like, so you would be like out, so you'd have a map and then you'd be like, okay, we've got to get to here, this and that, like which way are we going? And you'll like have to net like and
But
pinpoint it,
orienteering.
like they wouldn't tell you where you are on the map. You'd have to figure out how, where you are on the map, shoot out your bearings and then like go. So like navigation, weapon drills, so like all your different weapons that you use,
Do you guys ever
which
get
there's
lost as a family? When you're driving around,
not with a top soldier. I
have you ever been
was gonna
like,
say, if
I
it
don't
was
know
just
what
up
way
to
to
me,
go?
yes. If it was me, yes, sometimes.
I'm just so
And
you
you
know
know,
how terrible I am at Google Maps.
same.
I
So,
was
what
gonna,
did he do? What did he specialize in?
so he was like what they call infantry, so he was like a soldier, and so he carried on doing that when he got posted and to learn all the soldier stuff. And literally he did 16 weeks of basic. He came down,
What's
got post
basic?
a basic training is like the initial 60
Basic.
basic, sorry, yeah, basic
Why is
training.
it basic?
I don't know, tomato, tomatoes.
Oh,
Probably just
are
my
you
weird way of
calling it
saying it.
basic? Is that the way
Basic.
you say
Basic.
basic? I
You
am,
see?
because
No,
I said it before.
I say basic. I don't know. Basic, basic. I don't know. I think I was just saying it funny.
Keep up with it, Liz.
And then he got posted down to Burnham, and then he had a little break because it's Christmas. Then he did 16, I think 16 weeks as core training, but he got pulled off that early to then go get deployed to East Timor. So I didn't see him for like ages,
And
not
how
very
long was he in
often.
East Timor for?
6 months.
And
Wow.
then you wouldn't have had FaceTime then, eh? Oh, yeah, you might have.
Did we? I
Sky.
don't know. I feel like we, no, I don't think we did. No, we're just cool.
And so then what happened when he got, what happened when you guys both got back? Yeah, what happened when you got back from East Timor?
Then we lived in an army house. We
In
just carried on.
Wairuru? No,
No,
in.
in Burnham.
Where's that?
Burnham is just like out of Christchurch, like Rolleston.
I did know
Rolleston
that,
West.
but just for
Yeah.
people that don't know. Okay, so you did that and you lived together there.
Yes, yeah, in an army
And
house.
what were you doing there while you
I was
were
a
living
medic.
there? A medic.
Like, I was a medic.
But who are you medicating?
So I was a medic, so any of the soldiers, they would like come and see a medic, like generally before they would see a doctor, or like any field exercises. So when you go out, like the whole platoon or whatever goes out, you always have to have a medic. When you're at the range, like the firing range or the grenade range or whatever you're doing, like you always have to have a medic with you. Any kind of exercises, you always have to have a medic.
So when
Did
you're
you
at
want to be a
the
nurse? I thought about doing that, but I didn't sorry
stay
Jess
to
nursing, policing,
do it.
armying, Jess, go.
So when you are in the army but you're stationed in Burnham, you're basically a medic to the army personnel. Yeah, right. I always sort of wondered how that worked.
And
And
so like
then go on.
well, so to be able to do that, like I was at, they call it like the medic school, so I spent 2 years at like learning how to be a medic, and then you get posted to like different camps to like put your skills into practice, as well as then you do like a placement. I think it was at 12 weeks. 12 weeks, was it less? I can't remember. Like in the hospital. So you'd go into like the different like ED, you'd go into theatre, like different ones, so that you get the practical yeah, like training. And then also you'd do, I think, like 6 weeks on the ambulances, like St. John Ambulance.
Could you just today go, hi ambulance Christchurch, can I be, can I want, could you apply to be a medic in the
Paramedic.
ambulance?
No, I
Yeah,
don't have any like,
paramedic.
no, I don't have any formal
That's
qualifications
different.
as such. It's similar, but you'd have to, yeah, go through the process to actually get formal qualifications.
But you are formally a medic. You were formally a
Yeah,
medic in
so
the
it's like
army,
in the
put it in.
army, like
Put it in.
qualified, but not on like civilian, like civvy street.
Yeah. Wow. Take us to Amsterdam and then take us to kombucha and all the,
Okay.
there's a lot. And move it, mama.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, I left the army, I think, in, I spent 5 years as an army medic. Then I left there. And then what did I do? Yeah, and then I ended up moving to Amsterdam. And I spent a couple of years in Amsterdam. Booker and I, we were together like long distance, but then that didn't like work so well. So we had a little bit of a break. And then I can't remember what exactly happened, but I think I just got like a little bit homesick and stuff and decided that actually I wanted to come home after 2 years living in Amsterdam. And so I moved to Amsterdam to help my brother set up a cafe, which was, yeah, what we did. So we created like a New Zealand style brunch breakfast place in Amsterdam, and it was like so much fun. It was really great. Traveled around heaps, used it as my base. I was planning on actually moving to London and then living in London and then traveling, but I just stayed in Amsterdam because I enjoyed the lifestyle. And then I got a little bit homesick and decided to come home. And oh, actually, he decided that he loved me that much and wanted to rejoin me. So he ended up coming back over. He came to Amsterdam. We traveled around for, I think, maybe 6 or 8 weeks, traveled together. And then we're like, okay, like we'll go home now. And so we went home together as a couple. And then what? And then I rejoined the army after that, apart from I did 3.5 years, not as a medic, in the youth development unit. So it was working with like, I say youth, like 25 and under, like 13 to 25-year-olds. And they kind of like get a bad rap of saying like boot camps, but it was just helping people like get on a better path. And most of my time was spent at the youth residence, which is like, you can't say prison, but like it is, it's youth residence, and helping we did a course for like 18 weeks helping young people to try and think of a better path to get on rather than the path that they're on and the trajectory, which would be big boys or big girls prison. So that was quite intense for that part, but amazing. I learned so much. And I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I loved it. So, like, yeah, it was
So that
really
was
cool.
after Amsterdam, 3.5 years back with the army doing that.
So I
Wow.
was working in, like, they call it the Youth Development Unit.
Yeah.
It's gone now. The government has cut all that funding, but
And
it
how
was,
long
yeah,
ago was
just
this?
so that was two, like 2014, 15. I left in 2000, halfway through 2017.
And could you just go back and rejoin the army, like just like that? You don't have to go and do any more training or anything.
Oh, you'd have to apply and stuff and go through it,
Yeah.
but I probably, like, I could, but you'd still just have to go through the application process. But
Yeah.
I've seen a few of my old bosses and things. I've seen them out around, and they're like, "Oh, what are you doing? Like, would you ever think about coming back? Like, we'd
No.
love to have you back." And I'm just like, "No, that's I've had my time. I wouldn't go back
Yeah.
again."
And so after you did that, what did you do? Did you go back to Amsterdam?
So that was when we were like, "What are we going to do?" And then we, what did we do? Yeah, I was just kind of like, so Booker and I actually broke up. Like, we fully broke up, and we, like, yeah, we're living separately and stuff. And then we ended up getting back together after, I think, about a year. And then we're like, okay, it's probably time to have kids and stuff now. Like, let's settle down. So we bought a house. Let's, like, do that. And then we're like, actually, we don't want to do that. Like, what are we going to do? And they're like, fuck it, let's go overseas again and just go traveling and live our lives. And so we rented our house out. And then we went, moved back to Amsterdam, worked for my brother, and then traveled around. But that was only short-lived. I think maybe it was under a year. We were planning on going for at least 2 years. It was just under a year. And then I got pregnant with our baby, Kiva, in Amsterdam. And so then it was like, do we stay here or do we come back? And while we're in Amsterdam, we're like, there's no kombucha. No one's selling this. Like, what? This is crazy. And so we're like, let's do it here. And then we were making it at the cafe and my brother's cafe and stuff, but we're like, let's do it, like, proper. And then I got pregnant, and so then decided to come home, and then still decided, you know what, let's just still carry it on. And then, yeah, we just started the process of creating a kombucha business.
While you were pregnant
And
with Kiwa, basically.
while I was pregnant with her.
What made you go, "There's no kombucha"? I mean, I hadn't heard of kombucha till, I don't know,
Neither.
5 years ago. Like, how did you know
Same.
about kombucha?
Oh, so we'd been drinking it for ages. My beautiful friend had given me, like, a they call it a scoby,
SCOBY.
yeah, a scoby, and, like, I just read about all the health benefits and all the things. I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. And I did used to love it, because back in the day I was like, oh my God, this is great for hangovers. Like,
Yummy.
drink it. I was like, this cures it. And so we were drinking, yeah, my mum always made it. And so when we moved to Amsterdam, I was like, I really want some, especially if you're hungover. And then no one had it. I was like, where's my drink? Like, yeah.
Wow. Oh, so there, and there goes your mum's input too, right? So
Yeah. And
mouldy
so
order.
the mum looked after the original, like, Scooby the whole time that we were gone, because we, yeah, had left. And she was just carried on brewing her kombucha, and she has
How
always
long
been a big
does a
fan, loved it.
Scooby last?
Oh, like, it creates new ones. So, like, you
Right, it's
heal
like
it.
sourdough. Yeah, I know. Yeah, a starter or a
So it wouldn't be like the original, but it's like their babies of the
Yeah,
original.
right. Wow. And Māori Order kombucha was born in what year is officially?
So when was Kiva born?
2018?
2018, end of 2018. Well, that's when it was registered as a business. I would say, I think 2019 is, like, yeah, when it started, like, doing stuff as a business. And then we're going through a big growth stage at the moment. So we converted our garage into a kombuchery, set up and things out the back. So it's always been at my house, even though we thought, oh, it'll just be a couple of years. For that, it's been, like, what, six? And so now, at the moment, a premise in town, in Christchurch, and Dorset Street is currently getting fitted out for Māori Ora to move into there.
Correct me if I'm wrong, your brother is not living here yet, but he's in the business with you. He still lives in Amsterdam?
He's kind of in between.
Right.
So with Māori Ora now, so it's, like, my mum, it's Booker, it's me, it's my brother and my sister. So like a whole whānau affair. But my brother kind of, yeah, he lives in between. So he's been away. I think he arrives back today.
Oh, cool.
He's going to be floating in between here and somewhere, maybe Sydney, maybe Europe. I don't know. He's looking for a new place to like set up.
So he's sold his cafe or left the cafe in Amsterdam?
No. So he's still got them. But he's, yeah, wanting to so his business partner's looking after the cafe and things, and he does his stuff like remotely, but he's just wanting to have a change from Holland and Amsterdam and some more sun. So he's kind of, and he doesn't want to live in Christchurch. So he's looking for a place to live, and he'll go in between here and wherever that place will be.
What's the cafe called, sorry, in Amsterdam? I want to know.
Bakers and Roasters.
Bakers and Roasters. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
What is Booker's role in the business, and what's your role in Māori Order?
So Booker's is like all technical stuff. So he like brews it, or he like finds the right machinery or things that need to like go into it. So brews it, makes it, bottles it.
But it's not his full-time job, eh?
No. So it's just, yeah, at night or like when he needs to do it. Yeah. So he's like the technical side of stuff. I would just say probably like all the admin or like random stuff comes in, like the ordering of stuff, the stock taking, making sure that we have like the council registrations, like making sure our stuff gets tested and the alcohol levels, like just random stuff. It is supposed to be social media too, but I've been very slow on that part. And yeah, so kind of, I guess, operations, like all the behind the scenes kind of things, as well as I help bottle and do whatever.
When I lived in Christchurch, you sold it at Little Poms, I think.
Yeah.
But and I would buy it from you directly. But how can people buy your kombucha?
Online, so through our website.
Yeah. Is it in supermarkets yet?
No, it's not in
Will it be
supermarkets.
Or not?
Probably not. It probably won't. Just because the supermarkets take such a big cut, it just makes it not worth it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So what cafes can you buy in Christchurch though?
Oh, there's quite a few.
Okay, cool.
So I won't list them all, but Little Poms, it's still there, and Little Poms and stuff. Yeah, you can buy it from Pico, which is like an organic shop in town. And then also the markets, you can go to the markets in Malmesbury, either Saturday Littleton Market. Or
Love your mama.
She's great. Or Sunday, what is it? The South Christchurch Farmers Market.
That's pretty fascinating, eh? Like your story. And then you, at some point, were you pregnant when you came across Move It Mama?
I was. So I was pregnant with Kiwa, my first. So she's, yeah, 7, yeah, next week. I was hapū with her, and then I saw Lisa, I think it was like on Sharp, 7 Sharp, or like some program. And then I was like, wow, she's got 4 kids and she's doing this. Like, amazing.
Were you in Amsterdam at this point?
Yeah. So, no. So when I had just come home. So I was in Amsterdam. I'd heard about like different things and stuff that were going on. But then I had heard of you, and then I saw it and I was like, wow, this is really cool. Like, if she can do
I
this,
cringe.
I can do,
at
you know,
that
do that.
Sharp. Yeah,
no,
cool.
It was so good. It was so inspiring. And I think because when I did CrossFit when I was in Amsterdam, and I was like, well, I'm not doing that because I just, yeah, I'm not going to carry on doing that. And then I saw what you were doing. I was like, this is so accessible. And plus, we had no money when we came home from Amsterdam. Like, we'd spent everything. And it was an unplanned pregnancy. And I was like, oh my God, she's cheap as chips. I'm just like, and then the workouts are really good. And I was like, this is so cool. And then just carried on.
I will never forget the first time that I met you.
When did you meet in person?
Well, it must have been 2018.
The baby expo.
Yeah, the first ever baby expo I did.
Yeah.
And like, she came, I mean, I was just so, it was so long ago. It was so crazy looking.
And
back,
you would have been
I
on
remember.
Your own. Dan helped you.
I was
set
on
up
my
that
own.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on my own.
Yeah.
And this cool couple came past, one, you know, Natalia and Booker, and you stopped and you said, oh, hey, I want to meet you because I've been doing your work, like I've been doing your workouts, eh?
Yeah.
And you're like, this, I'm pregnant with my first baby. We've been moved over from Amsterdam. And I just remember it was one of those moments of like, I cannot believe this is real. Like, and I think you told me that you'd been in, you know, you used to do CrossFit.
Yeah.
And so that made me feel really like, yay, she knows that this is the real deal, proper, good, strong exercise.
It is.
You
oh,
know?
It was hard.
Well, that's what I didn't want, you know, when you know, there were so many things out there that were like, I don't want to say like not hard, but just kind of, you know, it was kind of pigeonholed and like mum, it's going to be easy because it's for mums. And that's like, no, this is going to be just a good, decent workout for anyone. But obviously I called it Move It Mama. But I just remember feeling so thrilled by, and Booker standing there too, like quite interested as well. Like he was just, it was just such a genuine, just like, oh, really cool. Thanks guys for so much for coming down to tell me this. Like it gave me such a kick. And I just remember, I remember that feeling a lot.
I remember when I first met you too, I was just like, oh my God, she's exactly how she is, like on like the camera, you know, like online. And I was like, which is really cool because quite often sometimes people are not.
Well, back like, then, especially, I reckon, like, I think that more, I think people now realize that to live a to be sustainable with your brand, you can't try it. It's not going to last if you're going to not be yourself. So I always knew that I had to be completely myself, but I always wouldn't know how to not be as well. That's just a part of my personality, I suppose. But that if someone saw me, you know, they can see me on the screen telling off the kids and they could see me in the park doing the same thing and it would be normal. So it was great. Great. I'm stoked that you felt that way. That's cool.
Yeah. And it just grew. And I remember like even just watching it from the beginning and how you would do it. And then like Jess and then Char coming in. Sorry. I know it's
Char. Basic and Char.
Well.
Basic.
Basic char.
And like just growing, and I was just like, and then you just offered like more and more, and like all these it's evolved, and like it's been really cool to watch, and
we must have come to your house to film you as a bit of a story in about what, 2020 or
before COVID, eh?
Yeah, it might have been 20.
I had one or two kids.
I can't remember. You definitely didn't have three, obviously. But it was some time ago, and we came into your house and we saw the kombucha set up and everything like that, and that was super cool. And then a year ago, next month, we got you on board.
I know.
Which is the coolest thing, and actually it's been like, years in the making, Lisa. About asking you way earlier.
I did, and then I remember we kind of I think I told you, and then nothing really eventuated for a while, eh? And then I came back, and I was like, right, it's time.
No, but then you guys had, like, moved over to Australia, and then, lots of stuff with Dan and everything happened, and you're just like, look, babe, like, I want this, but also, like, there's a lot going on, so, and I was just like, you know, that's all good. Like, you do what you've got to do, and we'll be here.
And were you nervous about when like we asked you and you were like, yeah, I'm gonna do it. Were you worried? Like, were there any like insecurities for you, or were you just like, I'm confident with this. I'm gonna, I'm gonna do my own thing. And
like, how was this feeling? I was nervous. Like, I always felt nervous, but I wasn't worried. I was like excited and nervous. Like, how is this gonna be? How is this because I would say I'm very authentic and I am who I am as well. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I don't know. But then I was more excited than anything.
And do you enjoy it?
I love it. I honestly love it.
Do you sometimes go, oh, I don't want to do this today? Like, you know, in both ways, like delivering the workout live and then also exercising on your other days. Do you find it a struggle?
Not to deliver live, like I've literally always been like, I don't know, I just feel that little like hyped up energy to be like, hey, here we go. But 100% when it's not and you're just doing it for yourself, I'm like, do it in the morning so you don't have time to think about it and process it. So you just kind of like first thing, like put it in your priority. And then if I don't do it, then I think I've definitely, come in waves. It'll be like some days, it'll be like some weeks, twice a week, and then others, three, four, five. And it's actually just trying to find that consistent flow. Sometimes it's still a struggle, but then I think not about the longevity of anything. I'm like, it's just day by day. I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because it makes me feel good. It gives me more energy. Like, I feel stronger, and it just helps the rest of my day, whatever it is that I'm doing, feel better. And I think that's always been the biggest thing. It's like not about, you exercising to lose weight or to look a certain way or this and that. It's like genuinely, it's helping me feel better and feel good.
It takes me back to like when I was when the kids were really little, and in the morning, say if I hadn't have exercised, like I couldn't really get in all the right, like things just wouldn't flow. Like I was like, oh, I've got to hang out washing, I've got to put washing on, I've got to get the kids clean, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. But the minute I'd exercise first, I got almost like it was like a kick up the ass to get everything else done.
Yeah.
And I could, and then my day was sort of was so much clearer in my
Yes.
head.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy to think. And it's, you know, for some people that don't actually exercise, it's quite unbelievable to think that that's the power that it can give you. But it's so important in the way that it's so much more than changing our body.
Yeah.
It changes your brain.
Massively.
Yeah.
I
so
think I'm
much
still
more.
like, even just learning that, like with my third pregnancy, I didn't do a lot of exercise because I felt so sick for about, I don't know, at least 16 weeks. And I was like, and then so tired from having other two kids. I was like, I just can't do it. In hindsight now, I wish that I just pushed and did it, but I just didn't. And then it was like, felt really hard getting back into it. But then I think I was like, because I don't know, how long have your From the Beginnings been there? I remember anyway, From the Beginnings, they weren't there for Nico, but they were definitely there for Amaya. And I was like, okay, you know what? I can do 10 minutes. Like, I can do 10 minutes. And I was like, I'm just going to do 10 minutes for this first week. I'm going to do it three times this week. I'm going to do Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then the next week, I was like, you know what? I actually think I can do four. And then I chose to do four. And then the next, I think, 3 weeks, I did 5 days. I was like, okay, now I'm ready to like
Go
move.
longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah, go along for 10 minutes. But it was just that battle of like, 20 minutes felt too long and too hard at that point because I felt so far from it. But then the 10 minutes, and then just because of the like intensity was really low, that you were like, I can do that. Like, I can manage that. And they were
I know.
So good.
That's such a good
strategy.
I need to do more. People
Jeez,
listening who are stagnant, go on, follow
just
along.
Just do 10 minutes, because I think 10 minutes is just like, I can do 10 minutes. It's not, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Someone
And then it
was
just
asking
helps.
For more of those.
I know.
You know?
Although she hadn't
need...
seen the website, so that's good to know.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
She wrote back and said she didn't even know think about the website that they're on there.
Yeah. Because it's such a good, just to, I think, get you back into like the swing of things and the confidence.
Yeah. I'd argue Hybrid Express does fill a bit of a gap. I know it's not basic, but you know, tailored, scalable, just 10 minutes.
I am thinking about, I've done my two lives Monday, Tuesday, and then I don't have a live Wednesday, Thursday. And, you know, I'm just sharing how difficult it is even for me to go, okay, I need to commit to what I'm doing tomorrow, tonight, to make sure I do it, because it's so easy just to not do it. So, and I have to remember how good it made me feel today and yesterday, you know, getting it done by 6:35, and how that it's, there's nothing better than getting that done and drinking your water and starting the day that way. So I have to use that as my discipline going forward for tomorrow, you know? So I'm just expressing that to people that, you know, I'm not, I don't take five live workouts a week or six, but I try and work out that much when I'm in a good part of my cycle. So I still have to use that discipline strategy. It's, you're never going to be always motivated, and we sort of bang on about that, but
Anyway. Just going back, touching to the From the Beginning thing as well, is it's like, I honestly think, I might be wrong, but I really think on the whole that so many people do nothing because they are, because they think that 10 minutes body weight isn't enough. So they just do nothing instead, because, you know, the alternative of, say, you know, headed to the gym for 45 minutes sort of, or F45 or whatever it might be, like what they think they should be doing is way too hard. And then so just doing 5 or 10 minutes, they just don't underestimate the power of it. And it just, I honestly just, the quicker you can exercise for so many reasons, so much more than just what it might do to your physical self, is like just the best, because there's just so much more to it.
I know that, like, I can relate to quite a few people that have reached out, and they're like, oh, I've fallen off the wagon, like, all the time. And it's like, have you fallen off the wagon? Like, I don't think you have. I think it's just life. And it's like, I actually think we need to stop using that mentality of like falling off or all or nothing mindset. It's like, it's not all or nothing, like, really check in. And I feel like I've only really got into this zone probably more so since I've become like part of the Move It Mama crew, but like, just actually thinking, what is my why? Why am I doing this? And I'm like, I'm actually doing it for my old lady self, that I want to be able to, like, or even my now self as well. But like, I want to be able to bend down and feel strong and like do all of these things, as well as role model what like taking care of your body looks like. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, not all this all or nothing mindset of like, I'm going to go hard because like I'm doing a challenge for this long and that's it. And like then thinking, all right, I've done that. Like, it's not going to serve anyone.
No, yeah, it's a lifelong forever thing, really. Yeah. And so ebbs and flows are part of it. But,
And you guys are like discipline always. Like, I love how it's just like, it's not motivation, it's discipline.
If we had a dollar, if we had a dollar, I'll come back when I've got my motivation. No, it's not going to
she
work.
She ain't coming.
No, I don't know her.
She doesn't exist.
No. Okay, we should probably wind things up, huh?
Yeah, I think my husband wants to come in and have a nap.
Yeah, okay. Sparkle spreader, or do you, we haven't briefed Natalia. Don't know if Natalia listens to podcasts.
I don't listen. I'm not a regular listener, but I do listen to some.
Do you know about sparkle spreaders?
Could you remind me? I haven't listened to one.
Just like anything that you want to share, might be something really cool, might that you're doing, might be like a little win, it might be a TV show recommendation, it might be a recipe, like whatever. Okay. Do you have an example, Lise?
I thought of one last night and then now I've forgotten it. I'm seeing you this weekend, Jess.
Hey, yeah, we haven't really completed that fact that that
my is. Sparkle spreader. I'm seeing Jess in Sydney on Saturday.
Sydney. That's cool.
Yeah.
No, but Jess is going to, well, it's Kirsten's husband's 40th. And we were actually, well, I knew him before I knew Kirst. And yeah, so that's exciting. So Jess is actually going for a decent sized long weekend, but I'm only going in for the night. But I'm very excited that I'm going to be catching a plane to Sydney and then I'm getting the train and a ferry to Manly, and you're picking me up, Jess, and we're going to go with Kirsten for brunch. And then you're going to come with me to the hotel that I've booked. And are you coming with me?
Yeah, sure.
Then we're going to just chill and have some spicy margaritas and some wine or non-alcoholic. I don't know. We'll get ready and do something. And then we're going to a house party at Kirsten's.
Ooh,
and then fun. Then we stay at the hotel. And then the next day, I'm going to bring my runners and maybe do a walk, although I've pulled my calf muscle. Then we'll go for coffee and then I've got to go home. But that's going to be fun.
That is fun. That's exciting.
I know.
I have booked pretty much my diary. Like, I fly in, I land at 7:30 a.m. on Thursday. I go straight to meet my old boss for coffee.
Oh, my days.
Not that one. Another.
Because that was my old boss,
I've got to reach out to him, but this is my other old boss that was after you'd left Seek. I meet him first, and then I meet a really good friend of mine for, like, mid-morning, a little bit of a shop around Pitt Street Mall.
Who?
Tan. And then meet Kirst at the ferry, and then Friday night I go out with a really good friend of mine, another one, and then I have
to see other friends. Oh, so you're not doing the Warriors game? You're not going to do the Friday
night
game?
No, fucking okay, what? Cool. The Warriors? Who are they? No,
they lost
joking.
Anyway.
I'm joking. Okay, anyway, that's my sparkle spreader too. Why not? Natalia, you got one?
Well, I'm going out for dinner, not Sydney, but Booker is 40 on Friday, and so I don't know exactly what we're doing, but I'm going to plan a little bit. I should probably have planned it a little bit of a day. He's not working. Maybe go to like yoga, do like the sauna, hot cold.
Will he do yoga?
Thing,
like, does he like that kind of thing?
no,
but
it.
I do.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm the partner.
He would do it, but like he wouldn't be like, fuck yeah, let's go do yoga. But he would do it.
I love that for him.
Yeah.
What a man. Does he read and does he listen to potties?
He does read and he does listen to podcasts, yeah.
Honey, what a hon.
He does.
Where have you been?
I would say he doesn't read that much, but he does.
Did you
he
say
listens.
What a hon.
Yeah.
He listens to heaps of podcasts because he's working. Like when he's working, he has his like headphones on, listening to podcasts.
Oh, like what? Like, Joe Rogan or?
I think he listens to him. But he, what's his name? He loves that guy. I can't stand his voice, even though I know he's really popular. Gary Vee.
I don't know. I follow him, the entrepreneur.
I mean, he's
guy.
Good, but he's so intense. And
he's very intense.
Do you guys have real good intellectual conversations?
No, absolutely not. I'm like, bro or cuz. Like,
I've heard them.
They are.
Like all of old mate, like we're not intellectual at all. No, I think he just likes learning shit about shit. Like,
I
you know.
love
And then
that.
not
I
talking
love
about
that
it.
for him.
Yeah. Or he'll just be like, hey, did you know blah blah blah? Yeah. Definitely not intellectual, no. But yeah, it's his dinner, it's his birthday on Friday, and we're just going out for dinner at the Monday Room. I don't know if you've
I've
been
been
there.
there with Dan years ago.
Yeah, so
Cool.
it's quite delicious and a bit nice. So we're going there with just yeah, some friends and close friends and no kids, so that will
Cool.
be good,
Fun.
and family, and yeah, and then we've got gymnastics on the weekend with Kiwa, the
Oh,
last gymnastics
weekend.
competitions. So
Yeah,
that's what we're
right.
up to. But I'll be working out to give me the energy all the way through.
Of
Good
course you
girl.
will be.
I'll
Yeah.
even com I'll commit to a bloody, what is it called? A hybrid 35, because I
Oh,
am in a
no. I know.
Good part of my cycle, but only like one. I do like them, but they're really hard.
I keep wanting to commit as well, but I don't have the discipline.
Yeah.
Guys, don't put
Well,
off our
find the
listeners.
discipline.
Don't put them off. There's all
I feel
scalable.
it is all
Every
scalable. I think it's just more a
time,
mental thing.
yeah, it is totally. But every time I see one of the girls taking that class, if I log on to Facebook or something like Kirsten on Saturday, I'm like, oh, poor Kirsten.
She loves it. Kirsty loves it. In fact, her and I will do it together on Saturday morning. You can do that one. I will
Okay.
not because I will be getting. I could do it too.
Oh,
I've
actually,
got
because what time is it? That'll be 8 o'clock. That's
eight
not actually,
o'clock.
that's 7. Oh, yeah, that's doable.
8 o'clock your
Maybe.
time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I better go, guys.
Yep. All right.
Thanks for
Thanks.
joining us.
Yeah. Thanks
That's
for having
love
me.
you.
Love
I'm proud of you
you.
always. Proud of your vibe, your energy, your style, your charisma, your
Everything.
strut, your
Yeah.
voice, your
Yeah.
eyes, your way of
Everything.
being. And
Thanks.
from
Guys, stop.
the
Stop.
members and the community who we know just love you too so much. They
Oh.
everyone says such great things about you and it's wonderful and we love it and we love you.
I've got a goal for you, a challenge.
Okay.
Mum loves you. So if she
Okay.
really loved you, she'd do one of your workouts.
Okay.
Yeah, so go
Oh,
and
okay.
guilt trip
Let's get
her. Mum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mama. Is she Mama? She'll be Mitzi, right?
Yeah, Mama Mitts.
Mama Mitz. Okay. If she's listening to this, Mama Mitz, come on. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I will even like if there's like a work a an exercise you don't want to do, you can tell
Yeah.
me beforehand and I will promise not to include it.
She's more of like a dancer. So she'd like a
Oh,
skater.
okay.
She'd
Oh,
like sort of
yeah.
a bit of a Bruce Lee, maybe. Or would she pull a hammy?
She also
What would
does
she?
not want to puff or sweat at all.
No.
So
Okay. Well, just, I mean,
there's.
go at your own pace.
Start crawling. Yeah.
Just stand.
Yeah. Stand and breathe.
She'd like sit to stand,
And
maybe. Oh,
actually, I think she
stand.
can't do like ours. Like, I think we psych her out. Like, she's like, shut up. Like, so she's way rather more do yours than ours, at least. Don't you know what I mean?
Absolutely. She
Very
tried to do my stretch. She said
begrudgingly.
I was so bored.
Yeah. And then listens to our podcast
Like
every
your
week.
stretches. I like your stretches. I find them
No.
really good.
She's so funny. Anyway, okay. Bye,
Right.
guys. Love you.
Okay. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.